Well, good morning to you again. The preacher's not here this morning. He and Brother Parsons is out fishing. They heard the dolphin were running, amen? So y'all pray for them. No, I'm just kidding. They're not out fishing, I don't think. He's off preaching off this morning. So y'all be in prayer for him as he serving the Lord somewhere, I promise you that. We're going to go to the book of James this morning. So if you want to open your Bibles to the book of James, we're going to talk a little bit about false hope. Well, before we do that, I want to read a Psalms to you. I'm going to read Psalms 100. It says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and his sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and unto his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." I wanted to read that to you this morning, and I think about the way we serve God sometimes, and that's why I wanted to read that. Just like this morning when we're singing, you know, sometimes it just seems like we're singing half-heartedly, or we forget that we're singing praises to God. We're in his house this morning, and sometimes we just got to where we act like it's a big burden to go to church, and it's not a burden, it's a blessing. And I know we get caught up in the struggles of life, and I know everybody gets tired. My wife this morning, don't tell her I said this. My wife this morning, she says, "I am just so tired." And she said, "It's just dreadful to have to get up and go back to work." And we looked at this psalm this morning. And she realized that running to the Lord, running to God. God says, "Rest in me." Amen? And that's what we're in the Lord's house for. We're here to get rest in God. But folks, we got to learn to enjoy that. When we sing, we need to remember we're singing unto God. We're not here putting on a performance. We're singing for the Lord. And if anybody in this world has a right to sing, it's every believer on the face of this earth. If you're here today and you're a born-again believer of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you have every right to raise up your voice and praise the Lord God. And that's just something that we do not do. We don't do that enough. I mean, we almost act like it's a burden to us, and it should not be that way. This being Memorial Day weekend, it's a weekend where we're supposed to be, and sadly it's not the case anymore, but we're supposed to be honoring our fallen heroes. Men and women that have given their lives so that you and I can enjoy the freedoms that we enjoy today. And I gotta say this, even those who wanna take a knee when we play the national anthem, those men died that they have a right to do that if they choose. I think it's sick and sad that you dishonor those who have given you the right to do so. And with that being said, my greatest hero of all time is the Lord Jesus Christ. The battle that he fought when he gave his life on Calvary for you and I. And I just feel like we should be proud soldiers of that cross. And in remembrance, we should be wanting to raise up his name victorious every day. Every day of our life, we should be thankful for what God has given us. You do understand that if it weren't for the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I are on our way to hell. We don't have any chance whatsoever getting out of this world without Jesus. And because of him and because of what he done on Calvary, we can enjoy the pleasures of life, that all the things that he's given us. We can enjoy them with gladness. We can appreciate all that he's given us because we have something even better to look forward to. And yet, how many people today, how many Christians today are out serving the flesh at the lake, or at Disney World or Busch Gardens or wherever it is they're at, rather than being in the Lord's house. And how many of those people are going to honor our veterans today or tomorrow that's given their lives? I mean, think about this. A soldier that doesn't know you from Adam's house cat gets on a plane or a ship, leaves here, goes to another country, and defends your freedom. Somebody he's never met or never know. He fights and defends your freedoms. And then we set aside one day out of the year to remember those people. And we don't do that. We forget them. And with that being said, how many times do we dishonor or don't honor our Lord Jesus? You know, I just feel sometimes like we're a very ungrateful people. No matter what God has given us, and he's given us too much in reality. You know, we've become very spoiled, very lazy. That's just human nature, isn't it? Seems like the more God gives us, the more we want, and the more we want, we get worse and worse and worse in our daily lives. We don't live for God the way we ought to live for him. But what I really want to talk to you about today is salvation. Our salvation. Every year, and thank God, I'm so proud that we have college students, that God opens their eyes and they realized, I'm not saved. And they get saved. They lay that pride. Can you imagine how hard it is to be in the Lord's service for years, going out, knocking doors and soul winning and leading people to Christ, and the whole while being lost? Can you imagine how that must be for them to realize that and then have to come forward and make a profession of faith? But folks, how many of us today are living on false hope? And what I mean by that, there's many people who, like some of these college students, so-called get saved at a young age, not realizing what it truly means to be saved, not understanding what it means to be saved. And there's many adults today that has the same problem. They went through the actions of whatever it is that they thought they had to do to accept Christ, but they never truly accepted him. You know, accepting the Lord Jesus is a personal relationship between you and God. It is the time when you realize that you're lost, on your way to hell, and that you need a Savior. And until you get lost, you can't get saved. You have to first realize that you're lost and on your way to hell. And unfortunately, there's so many people who's gone through the act of accepting Christ, but they've never truly ever gotten saved. And we face that every day. And folks, I don't know about you, but I believe the Lord's coming. I truly believe this book. I truly believe that the trumpet's going to sound and my Lord and Savior is coming through those clouds and he's coming to get me. He's coming to get his church. And if you believe that, as I do, then it should be important that those around you should be saved. And we need to make sure. Folks, I don't want to see anybody come to Landmark and if the trumpet sounds and the Lord comes to get his church right now, I want everybody in this building to be gone. I want us all to be called out of here. I don't want one person to be left sitting in his seat because they never truly trusted Christ. But James, here in the book of James, we've got a few things that we can look at, and we've got a few questions that we can ask ourselves to put ourselves in line to where we need to be. And I'm not trying to confuse anybody. And you'll see what I'm talking about as we start to go through here. I'm not wanting to confuse anybody. I don't want to get anybody off track. I just want you to understand what salvation means and the evidence of salvation. I mean, I just truly believe in my heart that when I got saved, I mean, how many of you can remember the day that you got saved? See, if you were a born again believer, every single hand in this room should have gone up. Because if you can't remember the day that you got saved, then I suggest you look at your salvation. Ask yourself, are you saved? Because I don't care if I live to be 400 years old, I'll never forget the day I got saved. I'll never forget the day that I gave my life to Christ. How can you forget that? Jesus moved into my body. The Spirit of God dwells within us when we're born again. Amen. So with that being said, how can you be born again and not show any evidence of Christ in your life? See, I don't believe you can. Now, I know we can be saved and we can be backslidden, but I don't believe that there can be no evidence of Christ in our life. I don't believe that. Because the Bible tells me that Jesus lives right here in my heart. So if he lives in me, there's got to be light in me. If he lives in me, just part of him is here. So there would have to be some evidence of Christ in my life. Now, we can become backslidden as believers. Amen. We can get away from God. But there's still always going to be that little evidence of God. And if that's not there, then I ask you today to look at your salvation real good. Don't leave this building lost and let that trumpet sound and you be left here. Don't let that happen. And every time I see one of these college students get saved, I think about that. I think about how horrible it would be. And it's so easy to do. That's why I'm so particular about witnessing to children. You know, when we witness to children, and the Bible teaches us so, and it's right to do that. But we have to be very careful to teach them exactly what salvation is and what it means. And they need to understand in their heart, what does the book of Romans teaches us? With thy heart, man believeth unto righteousness. In other words, it's not something we do. It's not, we don't just come down and profess Christ as an action. It's got to be a belief in the heart. When we do the action or we say something out of the mouth, if it's not in the heart, then it's false hope. It means absolutely nothing. Anybody can say something, but it doesn't mean anything unless it's in the heart. I mean, how many times have you ever told somebody, love you? Did you mean it? Did you truly love that person? Or was it just something that you said? You see my point? You know, sometimes we do things just to be doing them. But it's very important when we're talking about our salvation. There's nothing more important on the planet Earth than our salvation. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Our God, our Lord Jesus, died on the cross of Calvary that you and I may have eternal life. It is a free gift from our Lord Jesus. And when we honor our fallen, he's the first one that comes to my mind. But folks, we have to understand what it says. It's like Pastor Stephen used to always say, move your finger and keep reading. So many times we'll read one text or take one text out of the Bible, and that's all we read. Stephen used to always say, move your finger and keep reading, because the answer lies there if we just seek it out. Now, with that being said, open your Bibles to the book of James, chapter 2. Chapter 2 says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. And what's he telling us right here? We need to pay real close attention to this, folks. Verse 10, chapter 2, verse 10. We need to pay close attention to that. What's he telling us here? Is that if I've broken one point of the law, one point, then I'm guilty of all. Now listen to what he says in the very next verse. For he that said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. What's he telling us here? He's trying to show us that God has created all law. All law, all commandments come from the Lord God. So it doesn't matter whether it's murder or if it's whoremonging or how about just a little white lie. What he's trying to show you and I right here is that if you have broken any of these commandments, then you're guilty of all of them. In other words, if you've told one little white lie, then you're just as guilty as any murderer walking this earth. You have broken God's law. God's perfect. We're not. So when we tell that little white lie, we have, according to scriptures right here, we have broken God's law. We have sinned against our God. Now, what happened to Adam when he sinned against God in the garden? One little sin. He ate a piece of fruit that he was not supposed to eat. Look where we're at today. Amen? Amen. So that little sin was big. It was huge, wasn't it? So folks, with that being said, we need to think about something. When we look into the world, and you see these people out here, I mean, Pelosi, okay? When we see her, kind of leaves a nasty thought or bad taste in your mouth, doesn't it? But see, this is the way we need to see this. Now, understand, I don't agree with anything the woman does, okay? However, the proper way for you and I to look at her as believers, we have to remember that's us. That's us without Jesus. That is me without Christ. See, the difference between them and us is that our eyes have been opened to the truth. Once we're born again and you become a believer, you see that which they don't see. How can people vote to kill babies and save whales? It's pure wicked, it's pure evilness. But these people are lost and walking without Jesus. So with this right here that we just read, God is telling me that I'm just as guilty as they are. Think about that. So when we think about these people or we see these people or if a drunkard was to walk into your church today, you can look down on him if you choose to, but that's you without Jesus. Amen. And that's the way we need to see people, and that's the way we need to remember things. We need to remember only by God's grace are we here this morning in the condition and in the belief that we have is because God has opened our eyes to the truth. So we're not to look down on these people. We're to pray for these people. How many people truly pray for Nancy Pelosi? Think about that. How many people truly pray for this woman? See, you and I need to realize that this woman, most likely, is a lost soul on the way to hell. People say, well, you can't judge her. I don't have to. God did. Okay? There's no evidence of salvation there. I see no evidence of salvation in her life. So without the evidence of salvation, I can safely say that she's not saved. But you and I are to pray for these people. How many of us as believers actually pray for these people every day? They should be top of our list. Folks, this is our country. It's our nation. One nation under God. Amen? It's because of God that we have the nation. It's because of God that we're going to celebrate Memorial Day tomorrow. It's because of God that he's given all that he's given us. But yet we choose not to, as a people, to pray and honor our soldiers. And how about praying for all these lost people that's lost? Folks, lost people aren't praying for the lost people. They're not even praying for themselves. You and I are supposed to do that. But we're so busy looking at all the wrong in the world today. And it's a lot of wrong. And we're not supposed to be a part of that, but we are supposed to pray for those people. That's what, don't you think the Lord's trying to show us here? That without God's grace, that's who we are. We're those very same people. Where would you be today without the Lord Jesus in your life? Where would you be today if somebody didn't take time to pray for you? Where would you be today if Jesus hadn't raised you up out of that gutter you was in? Where would you be? Who would you be? How would you vote next week? How would you be voting? See, we need to think about all these things, don't we? Verse 12. It says, so speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. So what's he telling us here? He's telling us, hey, look here. You need to speak and do as those that are trying to live by the law. Why is that? If anybody should be honoring God's law, it's us. We're a born-again believer of the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe that our God sent his son, the Lord Jesus, to save us from the depths of hell. And believing that, why would we not want to honor and raise and lift up our God? How can we better honor him than to serve him? And how can we better serve him than obeying and keeping his laws? That's what we're supposed to do. That's why every day of our lives, everything that we do is so important. Pastors all the time talking about our testimony. Our testimonies are important because our testimony is a light unto the world. People, the way people perceive us. Now, we don't like to look at this fact, but this is the truth. When we talk about Trump or we talk about Nancy Pelosi or we talk about any of those people, you automatically, in your mind, you get a vision of who we're talking about, don't you? What do you think about those people that we're talking about? The way you perceive that person. Well, see, when we turn it around the other way, the world looks at us the same way. When they see us, they perceive us as a certain way. Now, is it in the light of the Lord? When they see us, are they seeing us in Christ? It's not easy to live in the world and go out into the world and participate in the things that we have to and let your light so shine all the time, is it? Because we allow ourselves to get caught up in the things of the world. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether we're at Walmart or wherever. Sometimes we get caught up in with the rest of the world. And we'll drop our guard, and the next thing you know, our light's being covered, right? And that's what happens to all of us. That's why our testimonies are so important. We should be honoring our Lord God. Every Christian on the planet Earth should be in church Sunday morning, unless there's something keeping them out. But our churches aren't full, they're closing. But yet they claim to be Christian. They claim to be Christian. Verse 13, for he shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. You think maybe he's telling us here that we're to show mercy? So when we think about those people in Washington, or we think about the drunkard on the street, or whoever it may be, you think maybe he's telling us we ought to show mercy? Amen. Let me ask you this. Did God show mercy on you?
Amen.
If you're a born-again believer, it's only because of God's mercy.
Amen.
It's only because of God's grace. And that's the only reason that any of us today are going to go to heaven. Because God had mercy on us. Amen. And he showed grace, didn't he? Well, us as believers, are we not supposed to do that same thing? Do we show mercy? Do we give grace where grace is needed? Or do we try to beat a Christian over the head with a shovel if we see him do something wrong? See, that's our tendency, isn't it?
Yep.
Boy, we can sure hunt around and find something to point a finger about. But that's not what the Bible's teaching us here to do. See, God's trying to show us here, hey, look, this is you. This is you we're talking about. That I have given mercy and I have given grace. Therefore, we're to show that same grace and that same mercy to our brothers and sisters. And even to those that are lost. What does it hurt for us to show grace? What does it hurt for us to give mercy to a lost person? Does it hurt? Does it hinder us? No. We're supposed to be Christ-like. Isn't that what the word Christian means? To be Christ-like? Christ, when he died on the cross of Calvary, he died for Nancy Pelosi. You do understand that. He died for the Pope. He died for you and me. He showed mercy and grace to all that will have it. So who are we to deny that to these very same people? But that's what we do, don't we? We want to withdraw that light from those who we don't want to share it with. And that's not what God's teaching us. Look at verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? How would you answer that question? Can your faith save you without works? That's a good question, isn't it? That's something to think about. See, what are we talking about? What's he talking about right here? He's talking about the evidence of your faith, isn't he? If you have faith, it's easy to say I have faith. But if I have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, if I truly believe with my heart the Lord Jesus, and Jesus has moved into my heart and taken up residence right here in me, how could there be no evidence of works? Do you think that's possible? Do you think it's possible to be saved, to have the Spirit of God live in you and show no evidence? I don't believe that. I don't believe it's possible. I believe you can be backslidden, but I do not believe that you can be born again and show no evidence of works. I don't believe it. So what am I trying to say this morning? Look at your life. Look at your salvation. Look at yourself. And is there any evidence of Christ? Is there any evidence of works in your life? And I'm not talking about what you get paid to do. You know, if you get paid to, let me put it like this. If you're paid to be a Christian school teacher, that doesn't make you saved. Amen. That also doesn't show evidence of your faith. You were here and you did what you did because you got paid to do it. But is there any evidence in your life outside of what you get paid to do? You understand? Do you see the point that I'm trying to make here? See, and I'm not picking on anybody. I'm trying for all of us. I want everybody in this room to see and understand the truth about your salvation. Are you truly saved? And does it matter? It matters to me. Amen. Because if that trumpet sounds, like I said earlier, I want every person in this room to be called out. Amen. I don't want anybody to be left here, left behind. We're in a church where a man has preached his book for 40-some years. And people still are not saved. I guarantee you there's somebody in here that's not saved. All because of false hope. We're grabbing hold to things that we think mean something, but they truly don't. See, it's all about what's in here, isn't it? It's all about what's on the inside. Verse 15, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, 16, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Here again, you don't think he's trying to give us a little hint here? He's trying to show us something, isn't he? If somebody comes up to you and they're in need of something, and you in a nice Christian way, you hug them and love them and just smile at them and tell them have a good day. Did you profit them anything? Where was your charity? Where was your love? Where was your grace? Where was your mercy? Where was your faith? You see what he's trying to point out to us? Even so, faith, if it had not works, is dead being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Do you understand what he's telling us right here?
Yes, sir.
He's telling you flat out. You got faith, but you don't have any works? Show me your faith. I want to see your faith. That's what he's saying. You understand the world does that every day? The world, if you tell somebody you're a Christian, do you not understand that the world does that every day? Show me your faith. You're in the same bar I'm in. You ever thought about that? You're wearing the same clothes I'm wearing. You're talking the same talk I'm talking. You're doing the same. You're walking the same walk. Show me your faith. So what he's saying is, hey, I can show you my faith by my works. And then some of you say, oh, you're teaching work salvation. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. See, that's where we like to go. That's where we as Baptists, we like to go there. Hey, you're teaching work salvation. No, I'm not. It's not what I'm teaching. What I'm saying is that if there's true faith, there will be true works. The Bible teaches that. You say, no, it don't. Let's read. 19. Thou believest that there is one God, that thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Hey, the devils believe that there's one God too. You think he's going to heaven? Nope. He's not going to heaven. So you believe in just like the devil believes. Are you going to heaven? Look what he says next. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Here it is again. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? What's he trying to show you? What's he telling? What's he saying to us right here this morning? He's saying Abraham, and we know the Bible says Abraham believed God, right? Amen. And because he believed God, it was accounted unto him, right? So you and I, if we're born again believers, how do we get saved? We believe God. You understand we all get saved the same. From Abraham to you and I, it's all the same. We believe God. It all starts right there. I believe God. And because I believe, I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus. I confess that I'm a sinner. I confess that I need the blood of the Lord Jesus to save me from my sin. I confess that. But it started because I first believed. Abraham believed God. And because he believed God, because he had faith in the Lord Jesus that was to come, he laid his son on the altar. That's works. He believed and he acted on his belief. He showed his faith. Folks, that's a lot of faith. That's a lot of faith to lay your own son on the altar. So what I'm saying to you today is, how much faith have you got? Is there works? You say that you love God. Is there action to show that? Is there works to show that you love God? Let me tell you something right now. Listen to me. Run your antenna up real big like the preacher says. If you love God, then it's not a burden for you to be in God's house.
Amen.
If there's a burden for you to be here, you better check out your salvation. If you love God and God lives in you, you want to see his work done.
Amen.
People, I hear people say, well, I'm retired. Well, I'm glad Jesus didn't retire. Amen?
Amen.
You know, have you ever thought about that? How about Moses? How about Abraham, Jacob, Isaac? How about all of our peoples that we read about in the Bible? Aren't you glad he didn't quit?
Right.
If we love God, we should want to be in his house. We should want to serve. We should be wanting to tithe. We should be wanting to see that gauge over here go up. Why? See, this is what a lot of people do. They look at this gauge, and all they see is money. That's a lot of money. We could have built the new building. Praise God, we probably could have. But what's most important, a new building or the souls that are going to be saved because of that money? See, if you love God and God's in here, then you want the things which God wants. What's the Lord say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And if we're born again believers, that's what we'll do. So what I'm saying to you today, if you have problem with any of these things, then I'm asking you to search your heart. Search your heart. Are you truly saved? And if you're not, don't be ashamed of that. If you're not truly saved, here in a little while, we're going to have church services and we're going to give an altar call. Walk this aisle, come down here and get on your face before God and get saved. Believe in the heart and confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Don't leave here lost. Folks, we don't know. Today might be the last day. You don't know that the trumpet's not going to sound today. I don't know that it is, but I don't know that it's not. I do know I'm praying that it does. And the older I get, the harder I pray. You know, we begin to hurt a little more, don't we? Things don't go quite as good as they used to. Lord, come get us. When we're younger, we're saying, oh, Lord, don't come yet. I got things to do. Not anymore. Now you say, Lord, come on. Today's a good day. Isn't it funny how life changes us? Folks, we're out of time. But listen to me. Don't leave here lost today. Amen?
Amen.
All right, folks.